Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I have made several attempts to vote early, and due to my schedule, I just can't get on that line yet, but I will get it done before Tuesday. I will vote, and you really need to research the local issues. Outside of the presidential election, there's a lot of things going on that your vote will matter for, and joining us right now to talk about that for the first time, we welcome John Morgan to the show. Mr. Morgan, how are you, sir?
Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm great. Pleasure to have you on the show. I was listening to you when you were on with Drew, and I know that you have had several presidents and presidential candidates at your home before for fundraisers or whatnot. What was the first political race that you got involved with?
Golly, I'm so old I can barely remember.
Was it before Bill Clinton?
Well, probably, yeah. I mean, I was a finance chair for Bill Clinton. So I've been there for a long time. Probably the state, you know, state stuff. Probably, you know, state house races and things like that.
What, was Clinton, though, the first president that you really got behind?
Yes. Clinton was the one. I was on his finance team. And it was during those years in the 90s. It was a great time. And he's a great guy.
Did you? I loved him. It was, he was the first person I was old enough to vote for. And I loved him because, like you, I grew up a real poor kid. And I felt like, much like I did about Obama, that they actually knew what it was like for that portion of America and would actually work for the people. And I genuinely felt that about Bill Clinton.
He was great. And he's, you know, he's smart as he can be. And but, yeah, when you, if you've ever tasted desperation, or if you've ever tasted fear, it's something you never forget. I don't care how much money you get, and you know that if you had the same situation. So I think it defines you, and it makes you have more empathy and sympathy going forward. And I think that's what made Bill Clinton. He could relate to everybody.
I know I have nowhere near the financial success that you have now, but I've been successful in my career. And I'm very happy being where I am. And people, like even my parents will ever say, did you ever think that you'd be? And I go, yeah, no matter how desperate things were, I always knew I would be here. How did you have any idea that you would be as successful as you are when you were a kid?
Oh, no. Well, listen, if somebody had told me when I got out of law school that I could, like, sign off and make, you know, not a lot of money, I'd have probably signed off right then and there.
Yeah.
Like, $100,000 a year when I was, you know, from where I came from was, you know,
the huge.
Same as $1 billion. I mean, it didn't matter. It wasn't possible. And, you know, people ask me all the time, you know, did I know that this would happen? You know, I said, no, of course not. I mean, you can't, all you were thinking about was having a house where the phone wasn't cut off and where the electricity didn't get turned off. That would have been a bonus just to have that.
Do you think that makes you so much stronger? Like, I remember there were times where in order to get heat, we'd have to turn the oven on and open the oven. And that'll never happen to my kids. And I think that's made me stronger than anything.
And I think that's what drives you. I've written a couple of books, one called You Can't Teach Hungry and one called You Can't Teach Vision. But I have a book in mind called Paperboy. A lot of people who were poor or who were driven when they were little boys or little girls, they were paper boys.
Yeah.
And you can kind of, there's something inside of people that this have decided, you know what, no matter how bad this situation is, I'm going to go figure it out for myself. And I don't know what you did as a little boy. I don't know, because paper routes started going away later in life.
I had a paper route, sir. I was a New York Post delivery kid where I had to do it at 6 o'clock in the morning before school.
There is my point.
Yeah.
There's my point.
You know what? It definitely teaches you, because not only, the way I did it was you had to deliver, you had to get the paper, you had your own business. You had to get the papers, you had to divide them, you had to deliver them, and then, like the mafia, you had to go collect the money if they didn't pay you.
And if they didn't pay you, you egged their houses later at night.
Right. But seriously, if you didn't pay you, it came out of your nut of the money.
Right.
So you needed to go get your money.
Actually, my paper route was in Lexington, Kentucky, and, you know, I had a big route, and we had to actually buy it. My grandmother was a secretary for the ag department, and she went down to Second National Bank, and we took out a loan, and I had to pay the kids that I bought it from, so you had to pay your bank note. And then you had to collect.
Yeah.
And, I remember one night this woman wouldn't pay me, and my grandmother got in her car and drove over and got the money. you're talking about like $3 or something.
Yeah, still.
If you went back home and went to sleep, and somehow you missed one, or somebody stole a paper off, they'd call the paper. You had to drive back down and give them another paper.
Give them another one. That's right. If they didn't get their paper, they would call the paper company. Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. I did read you say that about the paper route, and I thought about that last night. That's certainly how I started, and I had to be like 12 years old when that happened.
Exactly. I was 12, 13, but, you know, and walking around with a couple of $100 a month, I mean, you had money. So I think there's something inside of certain people that have this drive. That's why I wrote the book, why I called it You Can't Teach Hungry, because the thing about a paper route is it's every day. I mean, if you're going to miss a day, how do you miss a day?
Right.
You know, I mean, at the end of the day, I was back in Kentucky. I went to the races. I bought some race horses up there. And I drove my old paper out. And I got out of my car a couple of weeks ago. And I just walked. And it was a long, long paper out. But I tell you what, it was the best memories of all. And I was going by and remember, that house had a paper, that house had a paper, mm-hmm. that house had a paper. I mean, you knew by memory. That's why it was hard to not be the one throwing the papers.
By the way, that's a good way of telling that you're successful. I went to buy some racehorses.
But yeah, I bought some horses, and, you know, I've got hooked on that, so it was great.
John's actually going to buy the paper that he uses.
The box I was in was right next to the Lexington Herald Leader.
That's so funny.
And the guys that had the box own American Pharoah, so I got to meet American Pharoah, which is like meeting Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
Walk him out, you're like, holy cow.
This is John Morgan, who is joining us. You certainly know his voice and seeing him on TV all these years. And John has United for Care, which I did not know the full story. And if you wouldn't mind going through that again and explaining it for our listeners, until I heard you're on with Drew, about your brother and how your brother became a paraplegic.
My brother was a lifeguard at Walt Disney World. They were searching for a little girl they thought had drowned in the Polynesian Lagoon. He gets up on a makeshift dock. He dives in. They tied some boats down with a chair, with the table, and he was immediately rendered a C6, C7 quadriplegic.
Wow.
He was 18 years old. I was 20. It was and is, to this point in my life, the single worst day of my life. I left school. I drove to the Catholic Church. I lit a candle, said a prayer. Me and my brother Mike, we cried all the way home. We got there, and there he was spinning on a 360 bed, you know, couldn't move anything.
Right.
As time, they told us he wouldn't live past 30. As time has gone by, you know, he got better. He's what they call a super quad. He can actually drive a car. He has a wife. He has a daughter. He's got a great life. But it's the most, if you just watch him get dressed in the morning, it's unbelievable. So he is, in this life, my hero, because his suffering has been so immeasurable. But the pain never leaves him, and spasms never leave him. And over time, and I'm talking about pain that would knock you down.
Right.
And at one point in time, they had him on 7 Xanax a day. Jeez. And I don't know if you've ever had one. I took a half of one time in Italy, and they couldn't wake me up for 14 hours. My wife was on my back. John, we're going to miss the Vatican. But he started smoking the marijuana, and the pain evaporates almost immediately, just immediately. And it's just a couple of hits. And when the spasms are so bad, He takes a hit, and the spasms subside immediately. And he is just one story.
Yeah.
Marijuana works for all sorts of different reasons. Cancer patients who are hungry, our veterans returning home who have terrible anxiety, terrible nightmares. People think that post-traumatic stress is just a bunch of BS. No, not if you've been in these wars that these boys and women have been in. People with epilepsy, I can't tell you, ALS. The other day I was at a wedding, a couple of months ago I was at a wedding, and a woman comes up and says, hey, my husband wants to meet you. I'm thinking, well, you know, why can't he come over here? And I walk over, and he's sitting there, and I go to shake his hand, he can't raise his hand. And I go, what happened to you, dude? And he said, I've got ALS, and I just wanted to thank you for what you're doing, because I couldn't cope. This is Lou Gehrig's disease. I couldn't cope. I couldn't make it, and I just went, I said, oh, I'm sorry. And he says, I said, what did you do before this? He said, I was a sheriff at Lake County.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, deputy sheriff. And I get these stories, Mike, all the time. And
yeah.
So it keeps me going. It's become my purpose. You know, we lost last time by a percentage point. You got to have 60%. The state thinks between 400,000 and 500,000 really, really sick and disabled people with debilitating illnesses or injuries will benefit day one. And as you know, illness and disease and injury, it doesn't pick political parties. It doesn't pick R's and D's or independents.
Sure.
It just happens.
And who is the opponent to this? Who is the one person or the people responsible for saying?
One person is a guy named Mel Simbler. And Mel Simbler, if you ever want to know who Mel Simbler is, he was a big Republican donor, a big fat cat over in Pinellas County. And years ago, he had a thing called Straight Inc.
Right.
Straight Inc. is a horrible, horrible, horrible. He used to grab kids out of their beds at night, take them to these boot camps. And I'll just let people Google Straight Inc.
Yeah.
Straight Inc. has now dovetailed into the same organization that is fighting this right now. And if you Google Straight Inc. in words like abuse and terror and lawsuits, you will see what they've been doing for the last 30 or 40 years. It's a horrible, horrible organization. You know, drug abuse is not a crime, in my opinion. It's an illness. It'd be like, you know, locking people up and, you know, for having diabetes.
And, yeah, addiction is a problem.
Addiction is a problem. Look, I mean, people, and some people have a personality or a body that's more susceptible. Some people can have, you know, some OxyContin and they're okay, but another 14,000 people die every year from OxyContin. Another couple of 100,000 are hooked for life because Oxy's just like heroin. It's just a little bit more potent.
Sure, sure. And no one dies from marijuana.
Not one person has ever died from ingesting marijuana. Not one person has ever died.
And I want to point out, and I don't know what your situation is, but I'm not a pot guy. I've smoked it maybe a dozen times in my life. Never really does anything for me. I like to go out and drink and have fun. So this is not coming from a social thing, whereas I know some other people want to see it because they're recreational pot users.
Listen, I'm not, you know, this is not about Cheech and John going around the state trying to legalize marijuana. I'm not a pot guy. I'm a Maker's Mark guy.
Right.
I mean, me and you could have a lot of fun with Makers, but look, Mike, I've got four children, and, you know, three of my kids are lawyers with me, and when they were young, you know, I would from time to time go to get a drug kit and have them pee in a cup, and sometimes they failed and sometimes they didn't, and when they failed there were consequences. So I'm not one of these guys that's not my fight.
Right.
That's not what I want to do, because, you know, I know that if a young person starts smoking marijuana early enough, we all have the stoners from high school that never stop being a stoner.
Yeah.
I always
say that was the number one deterrent for me, just like you say about the paper route, was that one commercial where the guy's upstairs smoking pot and he still lives with his mother. And I was like, oh, I'll never be that guy. I don't want to
do that. And I didn't want to do it because, you know, I thought my dad would be so disappointed.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of reasons we don't, but I'm like you. I'm not, you know, I am a libertarian. I do believe people should be able to, if they want to drive with a helmet on, off, you know, let them. So I'm much more of a live and let live person. I don't want the government telling me what I can and can't do. But legalizing marijuana is not my fight. Getting help for 400 to 500,000 really sick people is.
Can I ask you, so if your brother has had the opportunity to smoke marijuana and several other people, then I would imagine they have to obtain that, what could be considered illegally at this point, which has got to be, especially to somebody with your brother who's got the resources and stuff, somewhat degrading to have to feel like he's being an illegal drug user in order to just get the medicine that he needs.
No doubt. And he's, you know, he's got a daughter who's 8 years old. He's 58 years old now. And he's got a daughter who's young, who is, you know, that's his whole world, really.
Yeah.
Is Taylor. But, yeah, you got to, you know, you risk being arrested. You worry about the, you know, he's got to, you know, keep it hidden. He doesn't want his daughter seeing him do it. And he keeps it hidden. Every time you buy it, you risk being arrested. I had a lawyer call me the other day. He said, "Look," he said, "listen, I want to thank you for what you're doing." He goes, "Well, why?" He's from Orlando. He goes, "Once a month, I drive to Tampa and I buy marijuana for my mother as multiple sclerosis." And he goes, "Every time I buy it, John, I worry. Is this the day I'm going to be arrested and lose my law license?"
Yeah, lose your license and the whole deal, yeah.
I go, "Why do you do it?" I said, "Why do you do it?" He goes, "I love my mother." I go, "Why don't you get somebody else to do it?" And, you know, I mean, get some, you know, he goes, "You know, who? I mean, you're asking somebody to go risk being arrested. I mean, think about it. You're willing to go do that because you love your mother so much, and the risk is getting arrested, losing your law license."
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's crazy.
Well, now that we're this close, I remember last time it was up in the air. It was really, you didn't know it could go either way, but it seems like the general consensus is that this will pass with no problem.
I feel like it, but I'm a guy that always plays like I'm behind. These people who go and take a test, they say, "How do you think you did on the test?" "Oh, I think I killed it." I'm never that guy. I'm always like, "I don't know."
Yeah.
You know, I'm cautiously optimistic. We're going to have a bigger turnout this time than we did last time. Last time, nobody wanted to vote. Broward and Dade was almost the lowest of all time. Last time, the Supreme Court approved our language 4-3. We've tightened it up. They approved it 7-0. Last time, Pam Bondi filed a brief against us. This time, she didn't. Last time, the sheriffs were challenging me to debates every other week, it seemed like. This time, they've been quiet. They're not taking a position because Grady Judd himself said, "I'm in favor of medical marijuana. I'd rather have it in the form of legislation, not a constitutional amendment." But look, anybody listening out there today in Tampa Bay area, ask yourself this question: what has Tallahassee ever done for you or your family ever? Name one thing. Nothing. So we got to do it this way. And we're going to have a big turnout. And look, here's the thing. The great thing about this, for whoever's listening, whether you're voting for Trump or Clinton or the two other people, the only thing that all four of the presidential candidates agree on this year is that medical marijuana should be legal.
That's absolutely true. And one of the other things I find, for a guy who's such a well-known guy associated with the Democratic Party, you don't push the other candidates when you're talking about the marijuana thing, which to me shows...
And listen, look, my wife is a devout Republican. I mean, she cancels out about every vote I've ever had in my life. And my wife is very, I call her the conservative Catholic. But this is one of the few political issues that the two of us have ever agreed on. And we had to agree on it because we've spent a whole lot of money trying to get this done for Florida.
Sure. Well, I got to tell you, if you're there and you were in the middle of the road for some reason, you can see what Mr. Morgan has been working for and what his motivation is. You mind if I ask you a couple of non-related questions?
No, and call me John, please.
John.
Worked at Disney. I thought it was cool that Walt was always called Walt. And I said, if I ever got to run a company, I'm never going to make anybody call me Mr. Anything.
Oh, I liked everybody to call me Your Highness.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was my question? Which one of your children is your favorite? You know you have one.
I tell every single one of them when I get them alone, I say, let me tell you something. I just want you to know this. You are my favorite. The reason I say that is when I get sick and down, I want to make sure that they're all fighting to take care of me. I tell them all that they are my favorite.
Right. I always tell my daughter, because she's youngest, I go, you know you're my favorite, and I look at my son and I wink.
I tell my daughter she's my favorite daughter, but I only have one. I've got four children, one daughter. But yeah, I've been lucky. I've got great kids. All four of them work in the same building with me every single day. And a lot of days, my day's in sitting in my office with my four children. I mean, what could be more perfect than that?
No, that's great. What will you do today? I mean, on a day-to-day basis, in my opinion, you just get up and sit on a comfortable couch and people just rub your feet all day.
Yeah. What I will do today is I am doing these. I've been doing radio interviews this morning. I'm going to go have a lunch about building a building, and then I'm going to Lakeland, Florida, to look at some real estate to buy real estate to add to our Lakeland complex over there.
Wow.
And then I'm coming back, and I'm flying to New Orleans tonight for a dinner on a case that we have over in New Orleans. So that's my day-to-day.
I know you're a busy guy, but I would like to go to New Orleans and hang out with you one time. Yeah. I think that would be a fun time.
Well,
maybe not this trip.
What time do we pick you up?
You'll have to bottle the Maker's Mark.
I got a lot of vacation days.
The problem is if we go to New Orleans, you may not be back in time for your show tomorrow.
That's fine. That's fine. This liver can handle it.
It's all right. He's never on time anyways.
It's a pleasure to finally get you on the show. I admire what you're doing, and I really... I love stories about people who are successful that came from nothing, and John Morgan is certainly one of those folks, and I think that's very inspirational to a group of kids that are out there today. And certainly the most important thing when you go to vote is to choose who you want to run this country, whatever that's going to be, and then keep in mind all the people who can benefit from medical marijuana, whether that be somebody that you love or just your general compassion for people that you know that are suffering out there.
Or maybe you one day.
Yeah, or you one day.
I mean, look, I'm unfortunately, Mike, you know, I can't believe it because I don't feel it, but unfortunately I am a senior now. I turned 60 years old this year.
Wow.
And when you get to be 60, that's when the pills start to come. That's when the bad stuff starts to happen. And the people who are older are the ones who are going to need it more than anyone. And I don't know it's why it works. I have no idea why this marijuana is such a miracle plant. And I don't know why aloe works. I mean, you know, you cut off a piece of aloe and you rub it on your shoulders and the sunburn goes away. But it does work. And all is... God made pot and man made pills, and seems to work better.
Well, I think that like I'll go out and say it. I think you're gonna have no problem come Tuesday. I hope it goes through with flying colors, and I appreciate all the work that you've done, and thank you for being on the show today.
All right, peace.
Thank you. Hold on, there you go. It's John Morgan. I don't know what was going on with the phone at the end there.
He may have been getting another call.
Oh, so. I got you.
Yeah. By the way, I love Cheech and John.
That's great. That's great.
Well, he certainly seems like a nice guy.
Yeah. Cool.
Steve and Julie Weintraub here for the Golden Diamond Source. If you're thinking about getting engaged, Golden Diamond Source is your one-stop destination.
Shop, compare, and save at the Golden Diamond Source.
3800 Ulmerton Road.
Or online at goldendiamondsource.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.